You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
To warn you, this episode contains descriptions of domestic abuse, violence, and sexual assault.
I'm Nick Wallace. This is reporting Depp v. Heard. Regular updates from the court in the celebrity trial of the century.
You will notice that I'm not outside Fairfax County Court. I've had quite a complicated afternoon after what was a stunning day of evidence. And I say that advisedly because the first half of the day was quite tedious. Johnny Depp was on the stand and Ben Rossenborn, Amber Heard's attorney, was taking him through a series of text messages for the best part of 4 hours, in which Johnny Depp was required to agree that those text messages or emails were sent by him. They did contain lots of horrendous language. They did say horrible things about Amber Heard. They did speak in the vernacular about certain things. And it was not pleasant, but it wasn't really going anywhere other than following the same pattern that happened in the United Kingdom, where the Sun's attorneys painted Johnny Depp as someone who takes so many drugs that he doesn't really know where he is or what he's doing. It was something in the UK that Johnny Depp was okay about agreeing to, but this time in the United States, he was pushing back a lot against it. But to be fair, the Amber Heard's attorney was very good at pointing out exactly how many problems he may well have had, especially in the sort of 2012-2013 periods. In the afternoon, things took a very, very different turn. We heard audio, we saw video, which was shocking, actually. I've seen the video before. I've seen Johnny Depp smashing cupboards in his kitchen in Sweetser Avenue many, many times at the UK trial. But putting yourself in the mind of a jury and watching that video for the first time, not knowing anything about this case, I can't imagine would have been helpful to his case. And there was some real venom and some real vitriol which he sprayed in Amber Heard's direction. And on top of that, he was very apologetic about non-specific events which he either remembered, didn't remember, was told about or whatever. But there was contrition from Johnny Depp about things that had happened. The things that had happened were never detailed, but they were clearly serious enough for him to want to apologise to his partner. So that's the backdrop of what happened today. I go through it with a proper full-on Johnny Depp fan and sort of probe her to see if she's in any way shocked by what happened. And I think you'll be interested in her take on it. And then also I've got the privilege and joy of speaking to a criminal defence attorney called Josh Ritter, who's also been following this from afar in Los Angeles and has one or two interesting things to say about the legal process, which is as interesting to me as the actual content of the case.
Hey, it's Debbie, the Johnny Depp superfan. Almost first in the queue, almost every day of this 2 week period. Mm-hmm. And staying for how long?
I'm going to be leaving around May 5th.
Okay, so you're going to get the bulk of the trial in, aren't you?
Yeah, well, hopefully.
I met Debbie on the very first day. She was with her friend Yvonne, who you've already met before, and I wanted to get Debbie on today. It's starting to rain quite hard, so this is going to be a short interview, but I wanted to get Debbie on today with my notepad because so much came out in, I think, the last session, I think, of today.
Yeah.
Because we were subjected to one of those cross-examinations where Johnny Depp, who was on the stand all day today, was basically being asked to verify that he'd written certain texts. And some of these were texts in which he used some pretty horrible language about Amber Heard.
Pretty graphic.
And then we got into video and audio recording.
There were a lot of texts that I feel like were taken out of context. When you only read a half a sentence or one text out of a string of 5 or 10, it can be taken the wrong way.
And that's how they're being admitted into evidence, aren't
they?
They're being admitted into evidence as almost single texts, which didn't happen in the UK trial.
Right.
We had whole reams of texts, which the judge was allowed to come to conclusions about the context. But these are just being submitted purely, I think, to show that Johnny Depp is not the Southern gentleman he likes to portray himself as. There was some pretty extreme, I would say. I mean, I can use the vernacular every now and then.
And
journalists' newsrooms are not shy of dropping the odd F-bomb or C-bomb.
True.
But there was, you know, real loathing in those texts. And I think no one would deny that.
Yes, but I know, having been married for 51 years, there have been times in my early marriage, it takes a while to get used to each other. And when you're younger, there's more fighting and making up and so forth. And sometimes that loathing is just a momentary thing. Mm. It's not a sign of real, true loathing, the kind that you would have for somebody forever.
Well, we know that they had a very passionate relationship.
Yes.
And we know that Johnny Depp is loquacious. He likes to play with words.
And
clearly some of the stuff that came up today, it was quite clearly a joke.
Yes.
But there was some real venom.
Context.
There was some real venom in there. Mm-hmm. And so they did what they were doing in the English trial, where they built up his drug use and alcohol abuse. And they made a really big play of that. And I think they successfully did it more so than they did in the UK. In the UK, Johnny Depp was very happy to admit drinking and drug abuse. He was more reserved and more guarded this time, but they went out of their way to pick up an awful lot of it. And they had, you know, things like problems with his liver, which we hadn't heard about, which suggests that he was really caning it, certainly in the sort of 2012-2013 period. Now, we had the infamous cupboard smashing kitchen incident. Now, that's been all over the internet for years, hasn't it? Seeing this in the courtroom was shocking, and that jury won't have seen that video before.
Probably not.
And he wasn't being violent towards Amber Heard.
He was not being violent.
Definitely being violent.
Yes. But that's something he has admitted, that he smashes things, not people.
Mm.
In the past, he's smashed hotel rooms. He's had his share of that kind of thing, but he's never used it against a person in terms of the smashing and wrecking or whatever he was doing. And even the kitchen cabinets, those were not perhaps the most sturdy cabinets. They were made of thin surroundings
You'd
of wood
make a great
with glass.
Politician, you really would.
I have cabinets I've slammed before and they don't break.
But built a picture this afternoon. We had audio
did.
Of him threatening to cut himself. Now, that sounded to me a horrendous situation to be in.
Yes.
Not just for him.
Right.
If I was in a room with someone with a knife threatening to cut themselves. And he is, you know, he's a powerful man. There's no two ways about it.
He
is bigger than her. He is the male in the relationship. He's got a knife and he is acting irrationally.
Yes.
Now, that sounded like a horror movie. That didn't sound like a good environment to be in.
Yes. And I don't know what his mental state was at that point in time.
Well, it didn't sound good, did it?
No, it did not.
But I mean, should he have been putting his spouse into that kind of position?
I don't know that they really mentioned the date for that.
No, they didn't.
They didn't say what date it was.
And he was asking that question, and he wasn't getting an answer. Why do you think that's significant?
Because I think if he had already asked for a divorce, if he was at the end of the relationship and felt desperate, I can see where he might have been in a different mental state than if it occurred well before the divorce was mentioned or the divorce proceedings were mentioned. I just don't know.
What do you make of this text exchange? Thank you for your letter, I love you. Thank you for mine. The only reason we go for the throat is love. My throat is yours, says Amber Heard. You're going to be the death of me, but I don't care. Johnny Depp says, I have other uses for your throat that do not include injury.
Right. Love making?
That was early on in their relationship, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
And then there's the other text where he apologizes. Yeah, I will not allow myself to stoop to such odious behavior. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It sounds like an apology after a fight. And I know that the constant refrain is that there is no evidence of violence.
Right.
But what you've got is you've got bruises, you've got profound and mm-hmm. profuse apologies, mm-hmm. not just to Amber Heard, but you've got emails to other people saying his behavior that he knows was beyond the pale. You've got alcohol and drug abuse. You've got you've got these really threatening videos and audio tapes that we heard earlier today, which build a picture very, very different to the sort of person that he is trying to portray.
Yes, yes. And he admits he struggled with alcohol and drug abuse all his life.
But do you not think it's entirely possible that he might have been so out of it that he may have committed acts of violence against his wife, because that's what she's alleging? And
yes,
this whole narrative that she's making all this up because she's a gold digger is just continuing the abuse.
Yes. I don't know whether she's a gold digger. I don't know whether she was really truly in love with Johnny. I'd like to think she was. I'd like to think he was. That's the reason you want to get married.
Mm.
But I don't know what the narrative is truly. I don't know that I would believe that he would hit her. All of his life, he hit things, not people.
One final question then.
Uh-huh.
If the jury here decides that he was the abuser and she was the victim, will you accept it? Because there has to be some closure eventually, doesn't there? And if you get a judge on one side at the Atlantic mm-hmm, and a jury mm-hmm. on the other, looking at all the evidence, mm-hmm. make that decision, will you accept it?
I guess we'll have to, but I also think that in the past, this would not have been a big deal. As far back in Hollywood as the times of like Errol Flynn, swashbucklers and so forth, there have always been these kinds of volatile relationships, and you've heard about them for decades. And so I think that if it hadn't been for the Me Too movement, I don't think this would have been such a big deal.
But the Me Too movement is a good thing, isn't it? The Me Too movement brought the abuse that was going on behind closed doors to light.
It
held people accountable for their actions.
Yes, but I think it's gone to an extreme. I do think it's gone overboard. People are getting affected that it's almost like a whisper turns into a conviction. And I don't think that it's completely fair anymore. It wasn't fair before. But I think that it's not fair now either. And it's swung, instead of being on this side, now it's this side of the center line.
You're not suggesting that Johnny Depp's a victim of the Me Too movement, are you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I am. Because I don't think their relationship would have come to the conclusions and the media circus that it has become if not for the Me Too movement.
For podcast listeners only, I have a special bonus interview. His name is Josh Ritter. He's a criminal defense attorney in Los Angeles. Very nice man who, on spec, decided to drop everything and basically speak to me about what's going on in Fairfax County. He's got some interesting views on the way the legal system works, obviously with his insight of doing it himself, but also some really interesting things to say about the way the Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing is playing out in Virginia. So, enjoy.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Josh, first of all, as someone who covered the trial in the UK, I'm in a quite interesting, I suppose almost privileged position, because I've been able to see essentially what is the same case tried twice through two entirely different systems. And one of the things that really struck me about what happened in the American judicial system is the way that the evidence that is presented is very, very tightly controlled. Both parties' attorneys will object to each other's questions, they'll object to some of the answers that are given, and they are very selective about what they do and don't want presented to the jury, where you seem to get carte blanche by comparison in the UK. What's the purpose of really tightly controlling the information that reaches a jury?
Sure. I can imagine myself watching a trial in the UK and just feeling completely out of water if that's how the rules are there. But yes, we have a pretty extensive evidence code. There's the federal evidence code, but each state has their own evidence code that really lays out the rules of what is allowed in court and what is not. And it is detailed. It talks about hearsay and laying the foundation for things. And it's the rules of the game, right? And so what's happening between these lawyers is they're making sure that no one goes outside of their lane, because it could possibly be damaging to their client, or it could possibly be putting something in front of the jury that they may consider, but we have decided legally is not pertinent or not important. But jurors are people and humans, and they tend to hang on to these things that they really shouldn't be considering. So it is tightly guarded what is actually presented to the jury.
Lay a foundation. Tell me about laying a foundation.
Yeah. So if somebody is going to testify to either a piece of evidence or to, something that they have witnessed themselves, you have to lay the foundation that they either, were a part of the creation of that piece of evidence, or that they know the people in being, let's say we're talking about a piece of videotape, right?
Yeah.
And Depp would be able to identify himself and Ms. Heard in the videotape. So he's laid the foundation that is in fact them. It's showing an interaction between the two of them. Yes, that's in fact, inside his home on Sweetser in West Hollywood. Those are all foundational questions, so that is allowed to be admitted. But if they showed that videotape to Mr. Depp and he didn't recognize anything and said, I have no idea where that is or what that's depicting, that would have no foundation to be allowed to be admitted into evidence in the court.
One of the frustrations, and I don't know whether you've ever spoken to jurors about this, is, of course, jurors are lay people. They come right to these trials without knowing a huge amount about the way that the legal system works. And we are human beings. We want to hear stories. That's how we build narratives in our heads. I am not listening half the time to the story of what's happening right with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. I'm watching the process of the courts.
Right. I'm sure you and I and the jurors would all love to just have Johnny turn to the jurors and tell his story. But that's just not the way it works. In fact, there's an actual objection of narrative that you cannot speak for too long, just kind of giving your whole answer, that it has to be guided by questions. They really want question, answer, question, answer. It's just our system. And it's funny how you're making me think about it in ways I really haven't before. Another thing that's taking place is a lot of this is being manufactured by Depp. And I know that he's been kind of criticized pretty heavily today for kind of the way that he's getting into it, as it were, with the defense attorney, and he's getting a little sneaky and kind of firing back at him, But he's also keeping that attorney off kilter, and he's keeping him from developing a rhythm. And I, when I first watched him on cross-examination, I think he started yesterday, or I think it was,
yeah,
he has a way of breaking up the rhythm of the attorney so that his cross-examination to me has not been all that effective. Now, he's showing some really damaging evidence today, and I think that Depp has had some issues explaining or dealing with some of it. But I think a lot of this stilted, kind of frustrating to listen to testimony is may have been pre-planned by Depp and his team to make sure that that attorney, Heard's attorney, is not really getting a momentum going and a rhythm so that he's able to kind of go after Depp, as it were.
I did notice that on a couple of occasions, Ben Rottenborn, Amber Heard's attorney, was actually laughing along with Johnny Depp. But there was an occasion where Johnny Depp said that he gave Marilyn Manson some drugs to stop him talking so much. And the courtroom laughed, and Ben Rottenborn couldn't help himself laugh. Now, that's really interesting, because this is a very, very serious case. And yet, if you've got if you're playing to the gallery, playing to the jury, and even making your opponent's attorney laugh, then you're right. You may be knocking him off. I do wonder how this plays with the jury at the end of the day. But you've been watching this case for the last 2 weeks. I've been in court every single day. I've seen the highs and lows of this process, and I've seen the highs and lows of the narrative. Today, huge amounts of what sounded like really, really damaging stuff came out for Johnny Depp. There were audio recordings, there were video recordings of him being violent towards inanimate objects. There were text messages, which were, I use salty language every now and then, but these were really quite vicious texts. You can see what the Amber Heard's attorney is trying to sort of build up in the juror's mind. Take me through the process after this, because he's on the stand on Monday, and then we've got the rest of the trial to play out before the jury actually sit down and have to make a decision. How much, what exactly will the attorneys be trying to do to Johnny Depp, Amber Heard's attorneys, in terms of what they are trying to present to the jury?
I don't think you're going to see much. I think they had their best day, is I guess my point. I think they've had their best day with Mr. Depp until they start to present their own evidence. But now that we're in Depp's side of the case, I think they had their best day today with the cross-examination. Like you said, it is some pretty damaging testimony. And I know that a lot of people have reacted to this and said, oh, this is, really damaging to Depp. I kind of have a hot take that's a little bit different, because I think it's showing the potential for violence in him. He's obviously got, some anger management issues. He's obviously got some substance abuse issues and alcohol issues. And you can see where he's has not lived his life with uninterrupted calmness, right? That he obviously has proclivities towards what you could argue to be violent. But if I'm Depp's team, I'm arguing, look how much she's recording him. Look how much she's surreptitiously recording him on video, on audio, and you don't have one shred of evidence that actually shows an act of violence against her. To me, that's kind of remarkable. If it looks as though she was trying to set him up, right, to catch him in the quote-unquote act. And she either never caught it, and I'm not trying to, I'm just calling balls and strikes here. I don't know who's guilty or not. Either she never caught it or it never occurred. And if you're Depp's team, I think you're pointing that out, that listen, we never said our client was an angel. He certainly hasn't lived his life entirely that way. But what you didn't see was him ever lay a hand on this woman, which is what this case is all about.
And yet, the case is all about an article in the Washington Post, which didn't mention him. And unless the jury find that that was written with malice and was libelous, it doesn't really matter what they think about their relationship and who did what. Can you see this being sort of brought back in the closing argument, saying, look, it doesn't matter what you think about this relationship, because actually the Washington Post article wasn't about that relationship?
Absolutely. It has to. If you're Heard's team, it has to come back in and remind the jurors that you've heard a lot about the drama between these two people. You can really set that all aside, because his name doesn't appear one time in print in that article. And she's talking in general terms about abuse. Now, the Depp team is going to highlight that she's talking about how she is a victim of abuse. And she is, I think she refers to herself as like the poster child or a spokesperson for abuse. And I think a lot of people can connect the dots, but the HERD team has to talk about how he's not specifically mentioned. Another thing I think they're doing, and this is why we're hearing all this talk about substance abuse and alcohol abuse, is one, it's showing kind of what a disaster he has been living his life and could have been violent. But also, I think they're setting up the argument of, this is why you lost your Disney role. This is why you're no longer getting these big roles, because you are living your life as kind of a disaster and no one really wants to hire you. I don't know if that's going to be their argument or not, but that to me seems to be why they keep on really pushing this stuff, is that would explain why he's suffered harm outside of this article.
So there you have it. It's been a really long week. Thank you very much for joining us on the Reporting Depp v. Heard podcast. There will be more next week. Johnny Depp has got, well, who knows, at least one more part day on the stand. We'll see where it goes. Thanks very much for your interest in this podcast. I really do appreciate it. If you'd like to subscribe to our newsletter, it is reportingdeppvheard.net/newsletter. Your one-off donation will give you not only these podcast updates, but a regular written newsletter as well. So all angles are covered when it comes to what's happening in this trial.
Please remember to follow and subscribe to this podcast on your usual platform. And please tell your friends about it too. I'd love to know your thoughts on today's goings on in court, the trial in general, and of course, anything you've heard in today's episode. You can tweet me at Nick Wallace, or you can email me, nick@nickwallace.com.
I'm Nick Wallace. This is Reporting Depp v. Heard.
This holiday season, reach for the one butter that never disappoints. Kerrygold. Made with milk from grass-fed cows on Irish family farms, it's rich, creamy, and perfect for baking. Whether browning butter for cookies or crafting the flakiest pie crust, Kerrygold's high butterfat content makes all the difference in flavor and texture. Holiday treats will taste extraordinary.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.